There's a couple other things I want to talk to you about tonight. First of all, don't forget Rosalie. She's at home. And thank you to all of our church family who's gone out and helped and made sure they've had food at home. Appreciate that very much. Also, pray for Craig Graves. Craig is not doing well. He's up. He's at home. And if any of you can go out to see him while we're gone, that'd be great. Also, Richard Howell called me. Richard Howell is a builder for goes around different churches and helps build. And he will be here the 1st of September. We're going to attempt to put a new drain in the in our men's bathroom and also rejuvenate that bathroom. And then we get that done, we're going to do some other stuff. So 1st of September, if you guys can kind of look after that and look around, that would be great. I'm looking forward to it. Richard, he's a great builder, and God has used him greatly. And so I'm really looking for that time he comes, some things you can get, finish up the sheetrocking and doing some painting in there and just some exciting things we can get going around looking good. Speaking about looking good, is anybody could cut around the building, mow around the buildings? That would really be a help. I was pretty disappointed when I came today. Didn't realize how our grass had grown. So when I came over here, so is there anybody that could kind of take? All right, brother, would you kind of look out? There's a mower here, whatever. If we could just cut around, just kind of get on the outsides a little bit. I was thinking about going and getting that mower tomorrow. I don't know if I can or not. If I can, I will come and mow that thing, and I'll leave on Tuesday for camp. But I like the church looking nice. And every time people go by there, this is where Doc Shearer preaches. And this is where you go. And so always want to have it looking nice. If you see some big rocks laying around, like I just saw some the other day or yesterday, pick them up because they're great missiles for our bus windows. And they can throw them pretty, chuck them into our bus room. So if you can see some, just remember this is your property. There's 8 acres here. And if you can help out and clean it up, make it look nice, we really want this place to look nice. I mean, we don't have a lot, but what you got, you ought to keep clean, amen. And so we do have a lot. There's 8 acres here, and a lot of things that God has given us, and we ought to be very, very careful with God's work and God's house. Take your Bible tonight, and I want you to go to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20:28. And let's stand and read God's word today. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Anytime a man draws disciples after them, we realize he's not drawing them into the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lot of people like that today. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That word sanctified means set apart. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you know yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that, so laboring, you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed or blessed to give than receive. Paul the Apostle is writing to the church and writing to the pastors. And some churches have more than one pastor. And he said, hey, the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Overseers, a man that's always looking over everything, making sure everything is done, making sure, you know, that everything is accomplished. Even down to the ice at the picnic. Always looking. Something. God's Word teaches us how important it is that we do right and walk right and serve right. I hope to God that I'll encourage you tonight by preaching this message. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to live for you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be careful that we would walk close to you and walk beside you, Lord. Many times I pray, dear God, I used to love to walk with my daddy, and I used to love to brush up into him and smell that old spice cologne. Dear God, I pray that I could walk close to you and brush into you and know you're there. God, help us to walk close to you, Lord. Help us be very careful about our church and those who would come in to destroy the work that you have allowed us to do in the last 35 years. Lord, help us to be vigilant. Help us to be careful. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One day, a florist went to the barber for a haircut, and after the cut, he asked about his bill, and the barber replied, I can't accept money from you. I'm doing community service this week. The florist was pleased and left the shop. When the barber went to open his shop the next morning, there was a thank you card and a dozen roaches waiting at his door. Later, a police officer came to get a haircut, and when he had tried to pay his bill, the barber again replied, I cannot accept money from you. I'm doing community service this week. And the police officer was happy and left the shop. The next morning, when the barber opened, he had a thank you card and a dozen donuts waiting for him at the door. Then a congressman came to get a haircut, and when he went and paid the bill, the barber said, I'm sorry, I cannot accept your money. I'm doing community service this week. And the congressman went away and left the shop. The next morning, when the barber went to open, there were a dozen congressmen in line waiting for a free haircut. Yeah. Scripture says here, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. It's very important that we really watch ourselves. So many times I tell my boys, you know, our motto was, if you ain't scared, you ain't having fun. That was our motto raising our three boys. But many times I say, hey, boys, I want you to watch out now. You be careful. Be careful who's out there. Son, I can trust you, but I don't trust some of the guys that you run with. So be very careful, because they may lead you in a road of destruction. That's why Proverbs was written to the young men. You young men ought to read the proverb every day. Today is the 9th. You ought to read Proverbs 9. You ought to read tomorrow Proverbs 10. You ought to study it and read it and trust it. So number one, may I say to you as a congregation, take heed to yourself. Be careful who you with. Be careful what you do. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you think. Be careful who you're running around with. Take heed to yourself. Then he says, and to all the flock, take heed. Be careful for the flock. Watch out for them. Many times things come into churches and they just allow them to go and just allow it to just keep going. And all of a sudden it destroys the church within the church that used to be. The church that used to stand for separation. The church used to stand for the right kind of music. Church used to stand for soul winning. Church used to stand for prayer meetings. Church used to stand for brotherly love. Church used to stand for righteous living and holy living. Amen? And you've seen them. You've seen them. I was at church last Sunday, and I'll tell you what, I was so disappointed with what was going on. My Uncle Johnny was a godly man, and to see what has happened to the family, it really, really bothers me, and it hurts my heart. Amen. So take heed to all the flock that over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. This man that stands behind this pulpit didn't make myself to be your pastor. God called me to be the pastor. God called me here. And I guarantee you, all my ministry, I've always told people, you know what, if you got a problem with the preacher, you tell God to take care of it. It's not your job to take care of it because you didn't call him. God called him. So many times we have people who just kind of, they're going to run the show. I don't want to run the show. I won't run the show. I will lead it and out of sweetness and carefully. And there are some that just don't get it. And the Bible said, submit to authority. Salute them that have a rule over you. Well, that's what the Bible says. So why don't you say you believe the Bible, why don't you live the Bible, amen? You say, who are you trying to get after? I'm not trying to get after. I'm just trying to nip it in the bud. You know what nip it in the bud? John Connor's got a garden out there, and all of a sudden little bud starts coming up. Either that or grandma pulls it out, amen. And don't want no weeds in it, amen. And that's our responsibility, just to let you know where you're at, amen. And to feed the church of God. So that's our job, to feed the Word of God, church of God, which He purchased with His body. So it is not my church. I am just the messenger. And by the way, don't shoot the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. Thus saith the Lord God. This is what the Bible says. We ought to live what the Bible says. We ought to stand up for the Word of God. And say, that's what the Bible said. That's what we're going to do. Amen. Now, the doctrine of the local church, the essence of truth concerning the church of Christ, is found in the Word of God and nowhere else. You cannot find the doctrine of local church any place else that is what we call the incipient stage. The firefighters know about the incipient. Huh? Any firefighters here? Any volunteer firefighters here? Incipient stage is when it's just starting. And that's when it's just starting. And you can put a fire out pretty quick if you get it in the incipient stage. Just the beginning. And this is what the incipient stage of the local church, we find that in the Word of God. Taking our stand in the Word of God, we must refuse to go outside the pages of anything concerning the essence of the Church of God. I don't care what Professor so-and-so says about the local church. I want to know, thus saith the Lord God. What does the Bible say about it? It's got it all in here. You don't know. Where do you think he got it from, Eva? Secondly, we must decline to read the New Testament through the eyes of church history in order to learn essential truths. You'll find that there's a lot of, quote-unquote, churches out there today say, well, this is what we've done all our being. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, it's a little different than what the Bible says, but this is what we've been doing. Well, let me tell you something. You're off track. You're wrong. What does the Bible say? Third, the Scripture alone, not Scripture interpreted and amplified by the church fathers. Scripture alone is how we dictate the local church. Number four. Our only rule of faith and practice comes from the Word of God. Faith and practice. This is what we do. Number five. For only the Word of God can you find the purity of the truth. And the Bible calls it the truth. Number six. We therefore place the New Testament high alone without apology. I don't apologize for the Word of God. I'm not going to apologize. That's what the Bible says. You know, we're running into some of this deal with this same-sex marriage and whatever. Well, it's not a marriage, stupid. How can you have marriage but two boys and two girls? It doesn't work that way. I'm a farm boy. It takes a bull and a heifer. It takes a boar and a sow. It takes a buck and a ewe. It takes a rooster and a hen. Just thought I'd help you out there. Thank you. And we take the Word of God without apology. We do not apologize for the Word of God. We don't apologize for the music we have at Heritage Baptist Church. I was at a church the other day. I'm telling you, I thought I was waiting for Surf City and all that other, that's how they played. I mean, they're playing it, man. The guy on the drums, he's banging it out, man. I mean, he's pounding it out. I remember when I used to go to the rock concerts.
Yeah.
Sorry, they really did have them back when I was, but they weren't as crazy as some of y'all. And God saved me out of that mess, that filth. God saved me out of it. But bless God, I'm not going to bring it into church. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. The scripture teaches us we don't bring that kind of junk into our church. It's wrong. And I'm not apologizing for it. Now, I want to make a couple statements. Those are just kind of preliminaries. I'm going to make some statements now, all right? The local visible church is a congregation of baptized believers, that's down in deep water and up out of deep water, associating together with a common faith, a fellowship of the gospel, observing the ordinance of Christ. We are governed by the word of God. We seek to withstand the gospel to the ends of the earth. That is, only scriptural offices in the church are bishops or pastors and deacons whose qualifications claim the duty and defined in the epistles of Timothy and Titus. Matthew chapter 18, verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. I didn't say republican, I said publican, Levi. Acts chapter 5, verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon many as heard these things. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. These are the statements about the new local church. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. A lot of people are forsaking the assembly of God today. They're forsaking the coming to church. He says, listen, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner as some is. There's a manner. It's a trend. The trend today is, hey, I don't need church. Trend today is, I will come when I want to come. Trend today is, I don't have to be there all the time. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible said, not forsaking the assembling. But exhorting one another. That's why we're coming to church, to be exhorted by one another. And so much the more you see the day approaching. I hear people all the time, I believe Jesus is coming back. I think this is the late hour. I think the Lord is coming. Every day I hear a honk, I'm on my tiptoes ready to jump. Glory to God. I'm excited about the Lord coming back. Except, you won't find me in the church house on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night because I got things to do. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner is, some is, but exhorting one another to see the day approaching. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, who is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scriptures is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let me make another statement here. The local visible church of Christ is a voluntary and an independent, autonomous group of baptized believers. You say, autonomous. Yeah, that's kind of like when you live in a certain place and there are certain grasses and certain animals and certain fruit trees that live around that area, they're autonomous to that area. That's a normal thing. This is a normal thing where they live. And the Bible talks about that we're autonomous, independent. This is what we do. We don't grow peanuts here. We grow wheat here. This is a normal thing we do. And a local church is autonomous. This is what we do as a local church. We believe the Word of God is true. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. We believe that His blood is the perfect atonement for our sins. We believe that if we die and have Christ at heart, we're going to heaven. We believe in the virgin birth and on and on and on. We're autonomous to that. And by the way, Fairview Baptist Church, Temple Baptist Church, and whatever Baptist church in town or whatever, they don't have nothing to say about our church. We do what we're supposed to do as an independent local church. And by the way, it really doesn't make any difference what they're doing. It's what we're doing, and we will stand before a holy God someday and answer for Heritage Baptist Church. You're a member of here, you'll answer for this church. The local church is voluntary. You don't have to be a member of this church, but you voluntarily said, I want to be a part of that church. Independent, autonomous group of baptized believers. That is a pure democracy which originally can join nothing, and that it has power and right within itself to confess its own faith in accordance to the New Testament. And each congregation recognizes its own democratic self-containing government is the highest authority for carrying out the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. First Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the ground of the truth. That's why we have to stay strong, because this is the pillar of the truth. People can say, that's what a church is all about. Heritage Baptist Church, that's what they're at. Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you unto the saints. Our responsibility is this Bible. Hey, you know what? Let me see. Can I have all the, if you're 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years, up to 6, 7 years old, would you come right up here? Come right up here. All you boys and all you girls, come right up here. Come, preacher. You ought to come. I gave you candy this morning tonight. Sorry, I'm out. All right. Wait a minute. I want some of the dads of these kids come up here right now. All the dads, just come up here. Come on, brother. Come on, brother. I want you to go over that side. Go over that side. You dads go on that side. All right? Let's see. Jim, come up here, right here. Anybody else 60? What are you? How old are you? 51? Okay. I want to show you something. You come over here. You come up here. Okay. That's Jared.
If nominated, I will not run.
Yeah. What I want to show you here is the Bible says it is my responsibility as a pastor. We are of the same generation. Mm-hmm. This is the next generation right here. Mm-hmm. You got a boy up here?
Yes, I do.
Stand in front of him, will you? stand in front of him. This next generation. You have three generations up here. You have the 60-year-olds. You have the, what, 30s? How many is not 30? What are you? 28?
29.
29? Well, where I come from, brother, that's really close. It's 30. How many of you guys are 3 years old? 4 years old? You're 4 years old. You're four? 5 years old.
I'm 5.
6 years old. This is our next generation. Whose responsibility is to keep this book for them? My responsibility. This is my responsibility. I'm your preacher. I'm the presbyteros. I am the superintendent of the flock. And it's my responsibility to keep this Bible open and keep preaching it so that they get it and they get it.
Amen.
We don't want to lose it. Thank you. You may go sit. Go sit down. Thank you. One girl. All the rest of the boys. Are you a lucky girl? Beloved, Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which once delivered unto you, the saints. So, it is our responsibility to preach the Word of God and stand strong to the Word of God at Heritage Baptist Church. And that's why you have a pastor. He is the alpha male, whether you like it or not. He's the man that says, no, we're not going to go that way. The other day, three young ladies came to our church. They came in the back, and they were talking to me about these books. Some of you met them or not. And I'm going like, I said to the girl, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, how come you didn't come to church tonight? Well, we were just, and she gave me this roundabout thing, and I said, shh. Antenna went up. Then I said, what are you doing? Well, we're selling this book to go to college. I said, oh, okay. I said, let me ask you a question. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Oh, yes. I said, how do you know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven? You tell me. I'd like to know that. Well, when I was 12, I got baptized, and I mean, just off the wall from you and I know what salvation is all about. And I said, let me see one of the books. And I started putting Brother Wall just having. I said, hey, Brother Wall, do you know Mary Becker Eddy? Who's Mary Becker Eddy? Boy, this was passing me. Well, she's a Seventh-day Adventist. And here, one of them girls was in here. I can't remember who she was talking to. And the book said, you don't have to raise your hand. Now I do remember. Shame on you. But anyway. And boy, she's giving it to you, wasn't she? I mean, she was going to get you by. And I said, wait a minute. I said, ladies, you need to leave. I said, we're Baptists. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in his salvation. And I said, you need to leave. They were proselyting what they were doing. That's why you've got a pastor. A lot of people say, well, they're all right. No, they're not all right. Get out. Get out. You're not going to spread that junk here. And by the way, Paul the Apostle said here, he said, for I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They don't care about you. All they care is about the coffers and the money they can get. Paul said, hey, I didn't make money off you. He said, I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to do it. But I'm there because God put me there, and I'm going to be very careful who comes in and who goes out. That's Bible, folks. The founding church, in essence, was established a society to be called an assembly. Assembly, ecclesia, called out assembly of baptized believers. And this word of God has a threefold application. It is used of a local church in a particular city or a house. Ecclesia is used for a universal, a collection of, or some aggregated churches. The You've heard about the churches of Galatia, all the different churches. There was the church of Ephesus, though, and the church of Philadelphia, and the church of Smyrna and Laodicea. Those are like the first one I talk about. But then there's the church of Galatia. That letter was to send it out to all the churches. Amen. And then third, there's used for church regarding an idea as a part of from time as realizing God's purpose for redemption. Now the entrance of the local church at the beginning, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my word. Jesus Christ was preached at the local church, and our main goal and main topic of Heritage Baptist Church is Jesus Christ. That's our main goal here. Secondly, Christ was accepted. When they gladly received the word, they were baptized. The same day were added unto them 3,000 souls, about 3,000 souls. Christ was confessed in baptism. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Christ added permanent believers to the church. The function of the church, may I say, the reason for our church is that Christ's work which made provision for the associated among those in Christ. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine? It was the word of God. Apostles' doctrine is the apostles came and said, we saw Christ. We saw him not only die on a cross, and we not only saw him buried, but we saw him raised on the third day, and we're here to tell you that that's the truth. And you can bank on that. And if you receive him as your personal Savior, you have home in heaven forever. Amen. That's it. And the Word of God is for our instruction. And listen, they continued steadfastly in that instruction. We need to continue to steadfastly be in the instruction of the Word of God. For fellowship. We need fellowship. Boy, last night, what a wonderful time at the picnic. That was fellowship. Laughing, giggling, you know, seeing people fall down. Ball knock people over on that. Great fellowship, you know. Seeing the kids ride them bikes and crash into people, amen. Also, not only for fellowship, but to the ordinance of the baptism, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper tonight. It's also for our worship. It's important that we worship. We ought to worship God in spirit and in truth. God is a magnificent God. I personally think that the best worship you ever do is alone on your face before God, a whole almighty God, and worship him. Because some have been fake worshiping. And for prayer. Everything here in the book of Acts points to community bound by spiritual ties. The best friend, listen to me, the best friend you have ought to be a member of Heritage Baptist Church. This, best friends. Watching over, caring for each other. Someone has a need, we take care of them. A while back, and I want to thank you folks for raising some money for Jerry Haynes. Brother Jerry Haynes, he has certainly slipped along health-wise. Didn't have some money, needs some help. Church is there. Rosalie Holloman, all by herself. Y'all fixing up meals for them. I know folks have been looking after the Graves family. You see, they don't come very often. Don't make a difference they come very often. Does it? There's some people in this church that don't come very often. They can't come very often. But bless God, we ought to love them. We ought to care for them. Just because you can't come doesn't mean they don't need to be loved, amen? You know, let's wise up a little bit. Let's do the work of a church, amen? Also, the community expresses common life, a simple yet adequate form. After the life of Christ's salvation, love to Christ, yet, my friends, if ye keep my commandments, he said, ye love me. Labor for Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's a work. It's not an easy thing. Someone has to do it. Some people think, well, this is my country club. I just come in here, give a little money, huh? Hey, I'm all right. You do that in my house. You put your dirty, stinking feet under my table. And you just show up for dinner. And you come home late at night and crawl in my bed. I said my bed, and pull over my blankets over top of you, and got the heat on in the wintertime, the cool air in the summertime, and I don't see you all day, and you don't contribute to the pot. There's something wrong with that. That's not too community. That's called being unappreciative. That's called being unthankful. You're a kid at home, first thing you ought to do is take the garbage out. Start seeing it build up instead of good night. Some people look like it's a crater just about ready to fall off. Amen. Kids are stomping on it, shoving it in. There's more mess on the floor than good. Bless God, boy. Pick that up and take it outside. You want to live in my house? We're going to do a little thing. Hey, you know what? I promise you, you live in my house, we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to take you things. I'm going to give you things most kids never get. Had a little Evelyn. She says, Pastor, can I move into your house? Can I come to camp? I said, Evelyn, I said, where am I going to put you? I'll stay in your room. You know, stay. You know. Hey. How many live in a house? Would you raise your hand? How many heads of the house? Would you raise your hand? Thank you, Mrs. Hops. We knew that. You didn't have to broadcast it. Someone has to take responsibility. Someone's got to do it. If it's only mama all the time, you're going to wear her out. And then we put mama in a particular position of going outside the home and work. I have a little saying for you. If she has to go out to work, then you got to help something in the home. Yeah, I thought you ladies say amen. You come in dirty old boots, walk through the house, she just cleaned up. Throw your shirt here and pants there. And flop down with your big old beer belly looking at TV. Half your tummy hanging out. You're a sight for sore eyes. Gentlemen, take care of the family. Take care of your children. Roughhouse with them. Outside. Pick up, clean up. Help. We used to have a thing at our house called 10 minutes. I don't know where we saw it, but Marsh and I saw this thing and said, okay, I'd whistle, and all the boys come running. I talked that to my boys. I went, that meant they had to come, and they come running. I saved my youngest son's life. That one day we were out pheasant hunting, and he was going after a bird and going across the road, and a semi-truck is coming. He'd never seen it. It was kind of windy out. I went, he turned around, and that old semi-truck went right by. If he wouldn't turn around, I wouldn't have had my son. But when I go, that meant you come. We don't talk about it. I train them when little that they're going to get a timeout. If they didn't come when I called them, you got to be careful with those new words. Right, Daniel? This is a new generation here. Timeout! When I was a kid, they call it tie down. Commence to whoop. And I whistle. I said, hey, guys. I said, this is what it is. 10 minutes. I don't want you playing with your stuff. Give me 10 minutes to clean this house up. And we go room by room by room. The room was done, we shut the door. Room was done, shut the door. Room was done, shut the door. Room was done, shut the door. You imagine what you can do in 10 minutes. Yeah, it takes a lot of pressure off Mama. Unfortunately, when you've got some of these little ankle biters and tricycle motors in your house, you spend 3 hours cleaning your house, and 1 second they've got it all tore up apart. But anyway, that's just part of life, amen. But they will grow up, maybe. He won't, but anyway. So as a Christian, it is our responsibility to take care of our church. This is our church. Someday, if God calls, and I have to leave the church, I will leave with that office up there, and that's it. I'll probably leave the desk, so I don't want to carry that stupid thing out of there. But I'll take my books, and I'll take some of the stuff off the walls. But it's still Harry's Baptist Church. If you'd like to, go see Mrs. Hobbs and ask her about my financial giving at Harry's Baptist Church. Ask her. Say, I want a list of pastors giving. And Mrs. Hobbs, you can open that up. I don't care. You see it. I've been here 33 years. I know what it is to give. It amazes me that some people come into this church never give a penny, and they're yelling and screaming about certain things going to get done or don't get done, and they haven't put a lick of half behind the yoke to pull to get this thing done. And if I was you and just starting off, I'd make sure that I'd start investing at Heritage Baptist Church, because if you don't invest in Heritage Church, it don't mean nothing to you. You have no idea when we got this building. We were meeting on that corner, and there's a big old wood stove back there. And it'd get so cold in here that you'd freeze to death almost. And we had two big, you know that burner that we got out over there when it started? Well, that's what we had, one here and one there. Finally, one of the wise guys thought it'd be a great idea. Let's make the Visqueen Chapel, amen. So we put Visqueen. And we got a little bit warmer. And we made everybody sit closer, amen. Oh, my goodness. And the night that we needed $30,000 down payment, how'd you like to raise $30,000 tonight? $30,000. And the last offering, Halloween night. October 31st, we're supposed to sign the 1st of November. Our ushers went out. The only time I ever let my ushers go out and count the money during church preaching service. They went and counted it and came back and said, "Preacher, we got $30,000, $30,002.97. The place went wild. You said, "What'd you do?" "Well, I just said a few things, didn't preach, amen. You couldn't preach. People just going crazy, amen. But you got to understand that these people dug down deep, deep. And many of them, I talked to many of them, but I've talked to some. And they said, "You know what? That was some of the most amazing times in my life." Then we raised $95,000 to fix the interior of the church. That was incredible. And there wasn't hardly any of this stuff around here. There's a lot of things that went on in this place. So when you walk into the hall, when you walk into this church, I wish you'd just stop for a minute and just think of all the people that were alive and gave, and now they're in heaven today. And they gave so that you'd have a place to stay. I think I'd be appreciative. I think I would. I'd really be careful how I treated God's work here at Harry's Baptist Church. Father, I pray you'd help that we would be more like you. And Lord, as you have given diversities of gifts to our people, our church, to do different things in different areas of life, some to teach Sunday school, some to work buses, some to work nursery, some to teach Sunday school classes. All go soul winning. Lord, help us as we would do more like you and be more like you. May we dedicate ourselves, Lord, to greater service. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're here tonight. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved tonight. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I pray you'd be with us now at this invitation time in Jesus' name. Everyone's standing, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know that. I'll be down in front. Won't you come? You say, preacher, tonight I want to get saved. I want to make sure that I know for sure I died today, I'd go to heaven. Why don't you come right now? You're today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to come to the point in our lives that we would give ourselves completely to you. Lord, help us. Give us some more years, Lord, that you would bless this church and keep us straight and help us, Lord Jesus, to stay the course. Lord, there's a lot of churches around this area that are crumbling and changing. Help us, Lord, not to change. Help us to be a church that doesn't change. We do what the Bible says, and thus saith the Lord God. Help us to be more like you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the